Yo, yo, what's going on, big dogs? Welcome into another episode of Adams Plus One. My name's Adam. His name's Luke Hendrickson. We are here to break down the Bears game following a disappointing loss in Baltimore. Let's dive in. Welcome in. Hey, my name's Adam. His name's Luke. We're here to break down the Chicago Bears, or at least react to the Chicago Bears. Disappointing loss on the road to Baltimore. Luke, what's going on, my dog?
Not a whole lot, man. First time in a couple weeks back doing this. Wish there was some better news to report on the Monday after the Bears play, but we got to roll with the punches here.
You're right. Let's just dive right in. I want to take 15 minutes. I want to get your reaction. Let's just chat about it. Let's vent about it.
Yeah.
What's your initial reaction and what stood out to you most from the game?
Yeah. Initial reaction, I was very, very negative yesterday. Yesterday, it was very negative, really just kind of discouraged about Caleb, especially just watching. It's a comparative league. And when you see other QBs in the draft class doing well, last year with Jaden Daniels, this year, I mean, Drake May looks fantastic. And even Bo Nix had a really good game yesterday. It's just tough. It's tough to see that when you see your guy, your first overall pick, generational prospect, struggling. So I was really negative, and I felt negative about the team overall. Not in terms of like, oh, the direction it's heading is negative, just where they're at maybe isn't where I wanted them to be or wish they were at. But it's funny because the reaction that I saw yesterday was definitely the more prevailing reaction. Like on Twitter, Bears Twitter yesterday was blowing up, right? It was in flames. The start Bajan hashtags were starting again. Just classic Bears. And then today, you can tell that's when the All-22 started to come out. And that's when analyst Twitter got access to the film. And that's when they started to digest it. And a lot more positive, actually. And so, like, from that, I was able to see a lot of the game, a lot of the 22. And I actually don't think it was as bad as I had originally thought. I thought Caleb obviously made mistakes. That interception was bad. He missed some guys. Maybe was turning things downfield a couple of times. But overall, like, after watching, I don't think the blame is just on him. Like, it's not like, oh, we should have won that, but Caleb lost us the game. I don't really think so. I think it was sloppy again, penalty wise. I can't blame the defense for giving up points. We're missing our four starting corners, so I can't beat up on the defense too much. The pressure, that's a problem. Our pressure rate is awful. I actually saw that our defense, besides Sweat and Grady Jarrett, had a zero pass rush win rate, which is not a good thing. Especially when they've invested so much. And then the offense, you know, like always, they keep shooting themselves in the foot. But I to emphasize the kind of switch between yesterday's reaction versus today, I don't know if you saw this, but I want to read you a quote from Ben Johnson's most recent radio interview.
Yeah, please do.
He said he played better this game than I think he had the previous two. When you look at it, all 60 minutes, and I'm not saying it's perfect, I actually came away from watching the tape this morning encouraged that we took a step in the right direction here this week. I know for some people it's hard maybe to rationalize because the result wasn't there, but yeah, I saw tangible growth from him. He's working his ass off. And I saw the quote first, just the written text, and I wanted to go back and just, I wanted to watch kind of how he said it. And it's interesting because when you watch Ben Johnson on the sidelines, you almost like worry that he's coaching Caleb too hard. Like his body language, like he does not hide any of his body language, right? He gets frustrated when Caleb has a bad miss or like the interception or like, so you're worried, like, what is he doing to help get his confidence going? You know, like how is he supporting him? Like a Kevin O'Connell, who's the quarterback's biggest cheerleader on the sidelines,
biggest.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, is he maybe being too tough and not inspiring confidence in Caleb? But then when I watched the video of that, when he at the end, when he's saying he was working his ass off, like that was, it was almost, he said it in like a big brother type of way. Like he's working his ass off, like to saying it to everyone out there, like he knows the negative publicity out there right now about Caleb. He knows what the reaction is, and he's almost like protecting him and defending him in public, which is a good thing, and definitely different than what his body language sometimes says on the sideline, which I think he just can't help it. You know, he's an emotional guy.
Isn't it amazing how his EQ is really high? Ben Johnson, we're talking about. I feel like Luke, like he was goofing around with the media, the press conference before the game about the whole take your shirt off vibes. He has won the media for a long time. Like Ben Johnson, which we saw Eberflus was awful with the media, that he's not, and we saw it over the offseason. He came out to right away. Hey, I know there were some things in the media or in the news about Caleb with the whole Kevin O'Connell story. He just nipped it right in the bud. It was not a story for long because he was out in front of it. Like you said, he knew the publicity was going to be about Caleb having a bad game. If you told me that people in the All 22, these gurus who we all know, the QB school, there's tons of them out there. If they were all saying bad things about Caleb this morning and then Ben Johnson said that, it would be harder to believe, right? But when you're saying how you've had two different responses, the initial first post All 22 people coming out, then Ben Johnson, I trust that Ben Johnson's not going to BS us, so that's good. I do have a question though. I want to go back to what you're talking about. Excellent breakdown. This is why I have you on. Best 15 minutes of my life right here. Don't tell anyone that. What were they saying? What were the people, the All 22 crowd? I haven't had a chance today to look into that. It's Monday. We're just reacting to the game. What were they saying? I know the penalties, but like, were there any players I know of the QB school, not a big fan of DJ Moore? There's certain things there. Like, were there any other players that just didn't have a good game that they pointed out on the film, or any reasons there were breakdowns?
No, I not exactly. I think the All-22 is also mainly more just complimentary on the Ravens defense. I thought the Ravens defense just had a really good day yesterday. They played more to their level probably than they have all season. They're getting their guys back. So what I saw was more complimentary. The one thing I saw against you brought him up, DJ, is overall I think DJ had a pretty good game. That last play, that last touch, what should have been a touchdown, DJ was open in the end zone, was actually probably DJ's fault, where he settled, he stopped right behind Roquan. And so Caleb threw it to the empty spot in the zone, thinking that he would settle down in the correct spot of the zone. DJ settled in the wrong spot, and it was just a miscommunication. Everyone that's posting that clip is saying, Caleb, no one knows for sure. No one knows how it's designed or drawn up, but like, looking at it, Caleb probably in the right there, and DJ is probably in the wrong. So that was one example I saw. Then the other things that I saw was like maybe not calling out that he had a bad game, because Rome had a really good game otherwise. But like what I've seen the past few weeks is that he's not coming down with those tough catches that you'd want him to. Especially that I feel like there's been a lot of times where Caleb throws it to him and it'd be a tough catch. But when you're the number nine overall pick and you're what, 6 foot 3, I don't know his measurements, but tall, big bodied receiver,
225
like
at least. He's got to be 225.
you'd like to see him come down with those. There was one on the sideline in the game yesterday that again would have been a tough catch, but I mean Caleb put it on him, it hit him in the hands. That you'd like to see him just come down with those. So those are the two kind of call outs that I saw negative wise. In terms of the Bears, but again, it was also more so just complimentary of the Ravens defense.
Yeah, the throw that really stands out against the Saints, Caleb steps up in the pocket. Maybe he could have picked up yards with his legs, but he gave Rome a one-on-one ball at the defender on his back. Like, Luke, you gotta make that catch, dude. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you're the ninth pick in the draft. Contested catches was your big thing. And you could argue, oh, the ball wasn't perfect. No, the ball was. It's hard because, just like you said, we talked about the quarterback comparison, and that's fair. I want to get into that on kind of the last way out of here. But you talk about the receiver comparison. It's hard with Rome because I do think he's having a nice year, right? But those catches that he doesn't come down with, I know this guy got hurt, but I've seen Malik Nabers in the back of the end zone with a guy's hand in his face. He can't see the ball, and he's catching a touchdown pass getting hit. I'm like, it's kind of hard to see that number, that guy do that. And then our guys, you got to make that play, man.
Yeah, I think, and that's what's separating Rome from being that true number one, right? Like, his production is like almost there, where it's like, this could be his he could be the number one in this wide receiver room, but just some of those catches that like a real number one comes down with, you know, what's the saying? A Chrysler 300 looks like a Phantom until a real Phantom pulls up like a Rolls Royce, you know? So they're saying like, if you're looking at a Chrysler 300 from far away, it looks like a real Rolls Royce until a real one comes by. And that's kind of how it is with Rome. It's like, you think he's like all great. Like, yeah, he's really good until next week. I'm sure when we see him sharing the field with Jamar, like you're gonna say, okay, that's what a real number one looks like, you know. So it's
Or
hard, and
like
he,
T.
you know.
Higgins too, right? Like T. Higgins caught he catches passes where you're like he just plucks the ball out of the air, dude. Like contest, you want to talk about a contested catch? Throw one up to T. Higgins. Like you'll see what happens.
And I'm not saying like, you know, I again, a lot of these are tough catches, and I'm not saying like I need Rome to come down with everything that's thrown in his way, you know. He's not it, I'm not putting that expectation on him, but there's been a lot of instances where the balls hit him in both hands and he just doesn't come down with it for reasons or for no reasons at all. So it's tough, but I wonder if that prohibits the Bears from potentially trading DJ at the deadline, you know. So I don't know. I do think otherwise though, Rome had a good, I mean, that first quarter, I don't think, well, who was on him? Nate Wiggins? I don't think Nate Wiggins could cover Rome with an inch to save his life.
He was having a hard time. Okay, last two things. One, looking at the other quarterbacks in the league. What I noticed when I watched Drake May and Bo Nix, but really Drake for sure, he's more accurate in my opinion, and Jaden Daniels, but we already knew this about Jaden Daniels. And then I watched Caleb. It just feels like, Luke, we don't attack vertically down outside the numbers a lot. And when you turn on like Drake May's big plays, like to Booty or even when I've watched a lot of Bo Nix, even when he misses, but he does give his guys a shot, they're attacking vertically and giving guys shots like in the end zone, one on one. You watch the Bears. Can you remember the last time we threw a vertical pass outside the numbers and it's one on one or and a lot of these are, you know, I know the guys get a step, but you also have to throw some just opportunities. Doesn't it? Do you notice that in this offense? Is it I feel like maybe it's just not drawing them up. I don't know, but what do you think about that?
No, I agree. And I think it's weird because it's almost like a shift. At least, and tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like it's a shift of what we've seen previously. Is I feel like the Bears offense, like their only downfield attack was like if they somehow connected on like a sideline, you know, deep shot that really like it didn't look I don't know, as pretty as like a deep crossing route or something. You know, I mean, it was just like a deep, just throw it up, hope someone catches it. Whereas they weren't throwing across the middle deep, where now I feel like it's the opposite. They're not really testing the sidelines and, you know, outside the numbers, like you said. So I don't know. I don't know if that's just a Ben Johnson scheme thing. I feel like trying to remember, I don't know, the Lions offense, do they have they historically, you know, have we seen a ton of those passes or is it deep in the middle to Jameson Williams, you know? So I
Catch
don't
and run
know. But
opportunities, obviously, right? Crossers, different level concepts, flood concepts, but a lot of condensed formations with crossing routes. I get that. But sometimes I'm watching the Bears and I'm like, man, just in general, we don't attack. I would just think you'd get Luther Burden in the game and you'd give him a ball down the sideline. Or you'd get Rome on like a wheel route where it turns to one on one in some situation. And I get it. Listen, Ben Johnson didn't forget how to call plays. But when I'm watching Drake May, because you know how it is, you're watching football and then you're watching all the games, and they show the highlights. You see Drake May stepping up in the pocket, ball down the sideline. The younger quarterbacks, ball down the sideline. Guys in the NFL, you watch our offense, and I don't know. What I worry about is this is what I worry about. Does Caleb understand what NFL open is or just giving guys shots, like trust throws? And I don't know. I don't know about that.
It's almost weird too because I feel like Caleb almost like in he needs to like make a mistake and then he balls out. Like I feel like after his interception yesterday, like when his back was against the wall, like that's when he started challenging deep and throwing tight window passes and like being aggressive. And he wasn't for like two quarters before that. And I just wonder if it's weird. I feel like with him, like when he makes a mistake, he just kind of locks in. And I would like to see him do that consistently throughout the game. But you're right. Like maybe he's, I don't know if it's a confidence thing, but it's just weird because he was not that player in college. Like he was throwing,
Aggressive.
you know, aggressively tight windows. So I don't know. Maybe it's just adapting to the speed of the game. Maybe it's adapting to Ben's offense. Maybe it's the co like coaching completion percentage, you know, like that goal of 70%. Maybe that's limiting his aggressiveness. So I don't know, but it's definitely something, yeah, that I've noticed.
Definitely. Okay. I want to touch on a few negatives I saw, and then I have a question for you on the way out. The few negatives that I saw, the first intentional grounding, Luke, it didn't bother me because the pressure was on him really quick, okay? The second one really bothered me, but it was also the play before that as well. So Caleb's been great end of half, end of game. He's running down the middle of the field. Awesome. Take off. They all turn their back. These are the things, and I get it, second year player, so that's hard, but like you have to understand like the way to play the position. You had to get out of bounds and save the timeout. Like there was no reason to slide there. I know that's nitpicking, but when you're the first overall pick, we all want you to be the franchise guy. Big time mistake, okay? My opinion, big time mistake. And then the intentional grounding, late right after that one tough, right? Like you gotta throw that ball at least near someone. Okay, those were the negatives. What I thought was really encouraging was they showed a pressure look late in the game, and the check to DeAndre Swift to the screen, dude, beautiful. Like that is those are the things we have to go back macro level by the end of the year. If he does stuff like that consistently, that's what Jared Goff was doing in this offense that Ben Johnson. That's what your true like I don't like the word game manager, but that's what your true field general will do. So that was an encouraging thing with him, right? So what you can react to that. I don't know what you think, but
Well, it makes me encouraged though. Maybe it's a, I think the overall trend in quarterbacks is we're kind of moving away from the field general types, right? And I think Ben Johnson is almost the opposite of that. I think he appreciates and I think he centers his offense around a field general quarterback. He doesn't like dumb it down at all. He puts the full responsibility. You saw that with Goff. I mean, Goff, he had wide open playbook, you know, like for everything, you know, controlling the line of scrimmage, checks, you know, things like that. So I think maybe it's just a time to adjust for Caleb to turn into that type of quarterback. But I like that because I think that's how the best quarterbacks get made, is becoming quarterbacks like that. But you're right. You do see more checks at the line, a lot of you know, I just see Caleb kind of managing that a little bit more, which is encouraging. You hope in this, as we get into the second half of the season, it starts to just move faster in his head. I think the biggest thing that holds Caleb back really is his footwork right now. It's not like, I don't think it's a case of like our past couple quarterbacks, like where you don't think they're just not seeing the field, right? Like you feel like they're, I don't know, not processing it. I feel like with Caleb, it's like it's mechanical in the sense of like I think his accuracy issues stem from his footwork, and things like that, where I feel like it's coachable. You're not dealing with Justin, who had the longest release known to man. You know, that's mechanical, but I feel like that's not coachable. Like it's hard to get that
and he just can't
improved.
throw with anticipation. He just couldn't
Yes,
see it grow.
at all. So that gives me hope. The biggest thing that I want to see Ben Johnson remove from his playbook, though, is handoffs to DJ. I don't think those work. And then I want to see him not throw a screen pass to Zacchaeus. I think you need to switch out Zacchaeus for Burden,
Yeah,
because
I
he's
agree with
more of like
that.
a threat with the ball in his hands. So I'd like to see that
Definitely.
going forward.
Definitely. Last thing, Luke, give me your end of the year outlook. I'm gonna always ask you this. We'll have you back on next week. I'm after this next game, but the Bears are 4-3. They've got a game with the Bengals. They still have two matchups with the Packers, one with the Vikings, one with the Lions. Knowing their schedule, what would you like to see in terms of first, just overall development from Caleb? Second, like the Bears as a team winning in success on the way out of the season or midway through.
I mean, I would just like to see Caleb get more confident, like just get more confident. I'd like to see him hit those boring type of throws, you know, more consistently. I'd like to see his accuracy improve, where he's not, you know, sailing the ball, you know, throwing it too hard. Or I'd like to see him throw with more touch, be a little bit more accurate. There's no like statistical guidelines that I'm setting to. I mean, it'd be cool if he was the first 4,000 yard passer. That'd be nice. See, I think he's like right on pace, or he's like his current pace, he's like 20 yards short. That'd be cool. It's more so just the eye test. I want him to look good to the average viewer, the casual NFL watcher. I want him to be someone could turn on a Bears game and say, "Well, that guy's pretty good," you know.
Definitely.
And in terms of the Bears overall, I said this at the beginning of the season. I don't need them to be a playoff team. I just want them to be like that Lions team the year before they made the playoffs, where they're a tough team to play. You have them on the schedule and you're like, okay, this is not an easy out. We gotta be on our A game. And then what they do at the end of the season, they knock the Packers out of the playoffs. So
I love that.
if we're a frisky team like that, that's all I can ask for.
I think those are all attainable. I think there's no question there's enough talent on the team. We got to get healthy, especially defensively. I think for me with Caleb, the one thing I'd really like to feel, I like what you're saying. I think my eye test is a little further in terms of, and it's a little different, I guess. Can you win because of this guy? I want us, me and you, to be like, yes. Like I know we've seen him do it, but I want us to know this is a guy you win because of, not a guy you lose because of. Like that to me, forget about comparing to Bo Nix and Drake May. I just want to know that Caleb is a guy you win because of. Like we go on in games like this, we play like next year at this time, if we're playing the Ravens and it's Tyler Huntley, you and I both know who has the best quarterback. We do, and it's by a good margin. And we should when there's a backup on the other sideline. You know what I mean? So that's my bar with Caleb by the end of the year, especially, you know, first year in this offense. And then for the team, I think it'd be really cool if you're just the last 3 weeks of the season, we're looking at the standings and we're like, not only are we alive, but like it's a little more in our control than the whole, well, if you get two
We
ties,
need this.
you know, they do that crazy math, right? Like, so that'd be great. Luke, freaking love having you on. Good stuff. We'll have you on after this Raven or the Bengals game. We appreciate it. Talk to you soon, my man.
Thanks, man. I'll talk to you later.